This is the Barbecue Central Radio Show, which is recorded live each Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Barbecue Central Radio Show is being brought to you by The Barbecue Guru, the original creators of automatic temperature control devices, now offering four different models for you to choose from. Rest easy knowing that The Barbecue Guru is controlling your temperature so you can get on with your life. Visit bbqguru.com or call 800-288-GURU for more information. And by Fred's Music and Tasty Licks BBQ Supply, your online barbecue and grilling superstore. From cookers to grills, wood chips and chunks, and everything in between, also be sure to try the Tasty Licks barbecue brand of rubs and sauces. Check Fred out online at tastylicksbbq.com. And by Stephen DeFranco Jewelers. Located in beautiful Willoughby, Ohio, Stephen DeFranco Jewelers is a family-owned and operated business looking to service the great folks of the barbecue and grilling world. Get free shipping and big discounts by mentioning my name and the term Barbecue Brother. Check out their inventory by visiting StephenDeFranco.com. And by Butcher Barbecue, with 30 years of experience in retail, wholesale, meat markets, food service, and customer service. Using that experience, everything they do and sell at Butcher's Barbecue comes from real-world knowledge. Check out their award-winning spices, sauces, marinades, and injections by visiting ButcherBBQ.com. Always trust your butcher. And by Green Mountain Grills. Discover something you'll really, really love. Grilling with pellets. Green Mountain Pellet Grills are the top of the line, best of the best, but not the highest in price. And be sure to check out all of their flavor rubs, sauces, and pellets for the Green Mountain Grill all on their website. Visit greenmountaingrills.com to peruse the entire product's portfolio. And by Barbecuers Delight Wood Pellets. Two-thirds oak, one-third flavor wood, giving you that perfect combination of BTU burn and sweet, succulent smoke you're looking to get all over your meat. A wide variety of flavors, so please go to the website to check it out and get yours today. Barbecuers Delight, which is BBQRSDelight.com.
Hi, this is Greg Rempe, host of the Barbecue Central Radio Show. And you are listening to BCRN, all barbecue and grilling all the time.
So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike the match, and... Oh.
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
All right, good evening, and welcome to the Really Big Barbecue Central Show. Yeah, it's the show that talks about all things important to the world of barbecue and grilling, broadcasting live and direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city of Cleveland, Ohio, rapidly becoming known as the barbecue capital of the North Coast. That's right, Frank, no facial hair now for 2 weeks, I believe is the case. Freshly shaved, maybe 1 week, now that I think about it. I am your program host, Greg Rempe. Happy to have you aboard here on your Tuesday. If you want to jump in on the show tonight, more than happy to have you. Two ways to do it. Toll-free number, 877-448-0433. You can also email the show if you decide to do that as well. Greg@thebbqcentralshow.com. Those are the two ways to get in touch with me should you see fit tonight. And a big show it is. Ladies and gentlemen, if I may say, Happy New Year. What's up with 2013, everybody? 2013, Happy New Year. Huge show. Anticipation. I am giddy with excitement. Every possible descripting factor and adjective I could come up with. Only two guests, but probably two of the biggest guests you could get during the course of not only one, but any barbecue show during the course of the year. Then I happened to land them on the very first show of 2013, coming up in about 12 minutes from now. He is a pit master, a winning pit master. He is a TV star. And the head cook for Pellet Envy, Rod Gray, joins me here in just a few moments. I mean, a plethora of things that we're going to be able to talk about with Rod tonight, to include what was going on with him last year, a little bow tie or a, kind of a bow on where things ended up for him in a personal, professional sense, professional being the barbecue end. Also, what he has looking forward to this coming season, cooking classes, TV appearances, the new lines of rubs and sauces and all of that great stuff. And he will also tag along for the 35 Pass segment as well. And then moving into the second hour, you know, the one thing that I love about covering this niche in this industry to some sport, I believe it's a sport as well. If golf and bowling is a sport, barbecue competition is a sport. I think we're still mostly at a point where you can get icons in the industry. You know, they haven't been icons and they've been dead for 50 years. These people are alive and well and still flourishing and being successful in their perspective niches and segments in the industry. And man, do I have a doozy coming up at 10:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Maybe you've heard of him. Famous Dave Anderson. What? Yeah, Famous Dave Anderson. So he will be tagging in at 14 and then also carrying over 35 past as well in the hour of 10. So an absolutely jam-packed, huge show. I can't believe it. If you can't believe it, I can't believe it. And I know I can't believe it. I know I can't believe it. No cocktail time tonight because we got a lot of stuff to get to in the open. And I want to make sure that I am on my A game for big name top men in the industry guests. So we'll forego that this week, although next week we will try and redo that debacle that ended up being the highball. And the highball was a debacle in the fact that you could hear it only on the audio side. I never connected or as they call it in the industry, published video. So that kind of hurt the whole visual side of things. You miss like 6 seconds, or I'm sorry, the first 6 minutes of the show. All right, do this since we're in the midst of a really big show. And there's some really great guests planned for this evening. Blast off an email right now or make a Facebook post or get on the Twitter and let everybody know that you're watching the show. Direct them either to the audio links, which are at thebbqcentralshow.com. Or, of course, you can direct them to the outdoorcookingchannel.com. And they can take in the video feed as well. So do that email, Facebook post, tweet it out, whatever you can do. Let's really drive those numbers up because it's going to be an outrageous show. By the way, at the top of the second hour, I have a huge announcement to make. One that I thought, you know, was going to be pretty monumental. I thought it was going to be pretty monumental, and if the day would ever come, and the day has finally come, contracts have been signed, ink is dried, and I'll be able to make a pretty seismic announcement. So look forward to that around 10 o'clock hour, right towards the top of 10 o'clock. Rod, if you're in the chat room, I will be calling you at 14 past the hour. Just relax. Refuel your gin martini that I know you have off to the side. Three different chances tonight, folks, for you guys to win Rod Gray's new Eat Barbecue products. You have two sauces that you can win, the Next Big Thing sauce and the IPO sauce. Both of them you get. Hold on a second here. Missed a call. Yeah, I know. And you also get both rubs, the Zero to Hero rub and the Most Powerful Stuff. Most Powerful Stuff. So you get two sauces and two rubs. There will be three winners tonight. Now, you're not winning one. You get to pick one. You're going to win the whole lot, and you have the opportunity of winning the lot three different times over. 27 past the hour of 9 or thereabouts, 7 minutes past 10 o'clock or thereabouts, and right towards the end of the show, about 51 past 10 o'clock. Three different opportunities to win the Eat Barbecue products from Rod Gray. Again, that's the Next Big Thing barbecue sauce, the IPO barbecue sauce. Then you also have the rubs, the Zero to Hero barbecue rub and the Most Powerful Stuff barbecue rub. You have to be American for, well, you have to live in America. You can be whatever you want, but as long as you are in the USA, Canadians, sorry, you are out.
Get that big stuff out of here.
In the words of the guy from Mitch and Murray, hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are on your way out. Sorry. The shipping is bad. You ship out of country, man, you're eating it. I believe the Super Smokers set that Candy shipped out was like $40 shipping. That was just for the shipping. So be aware. You have to do be in America. We cannot speak English here in America. Even people that host internet radio shows cannot speak English very well. So there you go. Three different opportunities to win the Eat Barbecue products from Rod Gray. Next Big Thing sauce, the IPO sauce, bottle of each, and the Zero to Hero and the Most Powerful Stuff rubs. And you get each winner will get all four products. Am I saying that properly? Hopefully. Rod Gray coming up here in just a few minutes, and then Dave Anderson, Famous Dave. Has anybody ever done any research on Famous Dave to see how accomplished he is, aside from just how you know him or you think you might know him? Two segments is not going to be nearly enough. And then there's this. A Mays Landing, New Jersey gentleman was arrested this past Sunday after stabbing a woman with a barbecue fork. You can't do that, right? Eugene Robinson, 37, was charged with aggravated assault and possession of a weapon for unlawful purpose following an altercation, police said, resulted from an argument over a dog bite. I mean, what's the first thing that comes to my mind? Dog bites my kid or bites my wife. I immediately go right into the house. I pull out the barbecue fork, plunge it right into the woman. Police responded to Hoover Drive shortly after 10 in the morning for a reported stabbing. At the scene, police discovered the neighbors were fighting as a result of an incident with a dog that occurred Saturday. The argument led Robinson stabbing a 25-year-old woman in the back with a grilling utensil, police said. 33-year-old man also suffered numerous lacerations to his hand from broken glass. Both victims, whose names were not released, were transported to AtlantiCare Regional Medical Center, city campus in Atlantic City. Robinson being held at the Atlantic County Jail in lieu of $10,000 bail, as well as on other unrelated police warrants. Unrelated police warrants? What does that mean? Probably drugs and booze. Don't put a grilling fork next to that guy. He's bound to plunge it in your back when you're not looking, especially if you have dogs or you're fighting over a dog bite altercation. Who knows what's happening over there? What's going on in New Jersey over there? Put corks on the barbecue forks. Absolutely. Safest way. The dog has been seized by animal control. It's not clear to who the dog is owned by or who it bit, but obviously big enough to get a grilling fork out and plunge it in somebody's back. Of course. Rod, relax, buddy. I'm going to call you. It's the same way it goes every time, right? All right, Rod Gray coming up here in just a bit. Look, folks, as many of you know, I now cook on a pellet cooker. Aside from the Weber Smoky Mountains that I have and the Weber Kettle Grill and the Genesis Silver Gas Grill, I have a Grilla-style pellet grill. And the first thing I did once I got my hands on it was call Candy Weaver from Barbecuers Delight. Candy, got a pellet grill, need pellet fuel. She said, why are you calling me? I said, look, you're widely considered to be the pellet resource, the brand that people choose both in the backyards and on the competition trail more than any other brand because of the superior quality and flavor. And after she got done gushing and thanking me for saying such nice things, I said, hey, you know what? People out here in the regular world should probably give these things a try as well. You can find them at bbqrsdelight.com. Now, maybe you don't have a pellet cooker, no problem. You can still take advantage of the pellet revolution on your gas or charcoal grill or smoker by grabbing that cast iron pot option, which you were getting in that Super Smoker pack that we were giving away 3 weeks before Christmas last year. I can say last year because it was, you know, only 2 days ago. Buy yourself a nice sampler pack of pellets, load 1/3 cup into the pot, and then place it into your grill or cooker and let that sweet succulent smoke take care of the rest. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Now, these pellets have been processed from sawdust by pressure, which generates heat, so any contaminants present in the wood initially are now gone. It's a sterile smoking wood product of consistent quality. And pellets are easy to use since you don't have to soak them in water prior to use, not 30 minutes, not an hour, not 10 hours beforehand. It's easy to blend wood flavors, and you can produce consistent results and flavor profiles each and every time when you use Barbecuers Delight wood pellets. Now here's something to remember. If you buy the 1-pound bags, it's all 100% flavor wood. But if you have a pellet cooker like me and you're looking to get some extra fuel for it, a little bit different, a little bit different recipe. Candy and the folks over at Barbecuers Delight have determined that the blend of 2/3 oak and then 1/3 fruit wood gets you that BTU burn that you need, because all wood doesn't burn at the same BTU. You know, apple wood and hickory wood and mesquite wood and oak wood, they don't burn the same BTU temperatures. So to get something consistent, you get that oak base and then the 1/3 fruit wood on top of that to give you that great smoke flavor that you're looking for. So head on over to bbqrsdelight.com. That's barbecuersdelight.com. Check out all the flavors that they have and stop fussing with the sticks and the chunks. It's Barbecuers Delight, choice of competition cooks and backyard hacks just like me. Barbecuers Delight. All right, we're coming back with Rod Gray. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from the Barbecue Central Radio Network studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
My first guest tonight always brings a unique and fresh view on the world of barbecue and grilling. Does competitions, various sanctioning bodies, televisions, shows, sauces and rubs. You name it, he's into it. In 2012, finished 57th for Team of the Year race. Let's go ahead and grab Rod Gray from Peloton. There we go. Rod, how are you?
I love the way you build me up and then kick me in the balls right at the end. Love that.
We have to go all the way to the top to come right back smashing down to the bottom.
Just for that, this is how I'm going to do the rest of the interview.
All right.
I'm going to sit here like this.
You can do whatever you want, buddy. Wait, let me.
Nobody's watching me.
Look at that guy.
All right. You went away again. Where are you?
What's that?
I like to see you, too.
Well, you like to see me, but, you know, the people that are watching really like to see both of us, and that's what allows it. So we have to suffer individually, and but the people watching get to, you know, flourish in our beauty together as guest and host.
All right. Hey, Happy New Year, by the way, while we're here. Yeah.
Happy New Year to you. What's the New Year's resolution for this year, Rob?
I don't have any.
You have none?
No.
Why no resolution this year?
I'm over it.
All right, we're over. Yes! I'm over it, too. My New Year's resolution is no more New Year's resolutions.
See what I'm saying? You with me?
I can stick to that one. I know it.
Hey, do you care if I go ahead and go vote for the KCBS Board of Directors while we're talking?
Do you mind telling everybody who you're voting for?
I don't even know yet, really. I'm going to vote for Stephanie Wilson. I am going to vote for her.
You are going to vote for her?
Yeah.
Are you voting for her because you were in a very contested Team of the Year race a couple of years ago and you knew Steve Farron and they're kind of together, or it has nothing to do with one thing or the other?
No. Steve and I are good friends. Steph and I are good friends, but Steve and Steph and I aren't really good friends. So, no. I've known Steph a long time. Here's what I know. She sat in the KCBS office and worked there for years, and she probably has more knowledge about the history and the current history of KCBS than anybody I know. She also doesn't take crap from anybody, truthfully. So, who better to have? Now, I want to say this to folks when you go to vote. Don't pick out people you just think are going to shake it up the most, because truthfully, you have to have a little bit of cohesion there if you want to get anything done on the board. So, it's okay to throw in somebody, one or two people, a couple of bulldogs, but look for people with some skill sets that'll help us be a better society, help barbecue be better. Don't just send in all the ball busters, whoever they might be.
Rod Gray joining me.
2013.
There you go. Rod Gray joining me here on the show. So lots to get to tonight over the next couple segments here, Rod. You know, we're a couple days into the new year. As you look back over 2012, you know, how do you tie that year up from both a personal and, I guess, a business perspective?
I want nothing to do with 2012. I want to move on to 2013.
Very good bow, very tight bow. Now, you know, there ended up being quite a race for Team of the Year. And before it was all said and done, Rod, fairly reminiscent of the race that you were in a couple of years ago with Iowa Smoky D's and I Smell Smoke. You know, were you surprised that Three Eyes was able to stave off Rob McGee in the end, or was this a 3 years or a Three Eyes barbecue year to be had?
No, those guys at Three Eyes, they had it going on this year. Hats off to them. You know, I was out at King of the Smokers in La Quinta, by the way, fabulous event, but I was out there with Three Eyes and Rob and talking to, overhearing Dan actually talk to some other people. He didn't get his first win until his first GC until like June. Now, when a guy didn't get his first GC until June and goes on a tear and has, I don't know what the numbers are, but 10 plus GCs, it's got to be his year. Hats off to Rob McGee. You know, like you said, 09 was a really tough race. I turned around and tried to do it again in 10 and I came up short, ended up second. Rob's been Team of the Year not once but twice, and he went right back at it this year, and he ends up second, which is very, very respectable. I think he would have gone on and tried to cook some more, except I think he had some things going on at his work that prevented him from doing that. I think he was tired too, but hats off to both those guys for what they did this year.
You know, Rod, as somebody who has won Team of the Year and, as you said, turned around and tried to do it again the following year, is it comparable to any other type of sport out there to be able to, A, win it, you know, one time and then turn around and be able to repeat it? Is that almost an impossible task?
You know what? I don't consider myself an athlete and I don't consider barbecue a sport, but yeah, it's really tough to do, to be honest with you. It's just, it's a mind game. It's a mental game. You know, I don't care what anybody says. When we got to late October, early November, and Steve jumps up and wins one, and then Darren jumps up and wins one, and I'm going to Florida, and I have to win a barbecue contest that year, and somehow we won it. And that carried the momentum into that final event. But it was hard to do it the next year. And then 2011, I just didn't have that kind of drive in me, to be honest.
Rod Gray joining me here on the show. PelletEnvy.com is his website if you want to check him out there. We'll get to the products that you're introducing here in just a few minutes here, Rod. You know, I did a recap of 2012 with a few other panelists last week. We talked about best barbecue competitions of last year. Two of us actually said that King of the Smokers competition was tops in our books. Now, of course, I'm coming at it more of word of mouth, social media postings, things like that. You can give a little bit different perspective since you took part in it. Is it fair to be giving this first-time event such high praise, or perhaps is there not enough praise and accolades that this event could get?
You know, it's so odd to talk about a first-year event and have it just absolutely catapult to the top of the list.
Yeah.
I think this event is done, but truthfully, I don't think it got enough praise and enough accolades. Now, I'm not going to, you know, let's get it out on the table here. I talk to Sterling once in a while. I know Sterling Ball, and he's a great guy, but his crew, his team, did something in the first year that I've never seen done before. They really put on a fabulous event, and I think it should be considered the best event of the year. I really do.
There seems to have been, I don't want to say a growth in these invitational style competitions. Do you have a position either way? I mean, obviously there's the invitationals that have been rooted in barbecue history, so we won't necessarily touch those. But these new ones that were popping up with these similar themes of bringing barbecue back to a more traditional route or an old school way of cooking, do you like the idea of invitational barbecue, or do you think it, well, inherently, as the name would say, is excluding people that maybe should get a shot at?
Well, yeah, it does. There's going to be a cutoff somewhere. If you invited everybody, it's no longer an invitational. It probably loses some of its prestige. Having said that, if you bring the right mix of folks and it doesn't become an every weekend thing, you know, where we have over 400 sanctioned events with KCBS plus whatever IBCA does, whatever Florida does, and whatever some of these other guys are doing, you know, there's got to be in the neighborhood of 1,000 barbecue contests a year. You sprinkle in half a dozen invitationals, I don't think you have too many.
All right, so let's talk about the team for a bit, Rod. where are the goals for the 2013 season? Is it like an empire building thing with you at this point? Will you refocus on the competition side of things? What's on that to-do list?
Well, competition is number one for 2013 as best I can. You asked me about personal 2012. Just so everybody knows, Sherry's scheduled for a kidney transplant on the 15th of January. So we're going to go do that. We're going to focus on that. And in hopefully 6 to 8 weeks, we can put that behind us to where she's feeling better and I'm out on the road again. And the goal is for me to cook as much as possible next year, 2013.
Is it just to get back in the swing of things and knock some rust off, or are you planning on going to make a run at Team of the Year?
I try to make a run at Team of the Year every year. So, yeah, I'm trying to make a run at Team of the Year, sure. Will it work that way? Who knows? You know, as good as any team is, you have to catch some luck here and there. Anybody will tell you that. And we'll just see if 2013 is a lucky year for me.
It seems that the last couple of years, especially with that proliferation of, you know, all these successful teams doing barbecue cooking classes and a lot of people taking them, that every year a new batch and probably bigger than a handful batch size teams come out that all of a sudden they're out of the middle of nowhere and they've become very competitive. Maybe it wasn't that case 4 or 5 years ago. Is it that new breed of cooker that kind of, I don't want to say intimidates you, but makes it a little bit harder for you guys to start chalking up wins like you used to?
Well, yeah, when you elevate someone's cooking to a much higher level, all of a sudden, now you've surrounded yourself with a bunch of teams that can win on any given day. And we're seeing more and more of that. I think in years past, you know, there may have been half a dozen teams that could win on any given day. And now there may be 36 of them. And you spread it out amongst the contests, and that's quite a few more. So yeah, the classes are making a difference. And I'd like to complain about that, but I think I'd like to say that I'm one of the reasons there are so many classes out there. You know, a lot of guys teaching classes learned a little something from me along the way.
Rod Gray joining me here on the show. PelletEnvy.com is his website. We've probably talked about this once or twice during our many conversations since you've kind of been joining the show here over the years, Rod. And I wonder at this point, you know, with so many teams coming in, with the stakes being so high, and I guess on the whole, if you look at it and you go through and see, you know, okay, KCBS website, and here's the finishes for this contest this week, and here's the contest finishes for this one this week. You know, the prize purses overall are still pretty freaking weak. You know, $5,500, $7,500. Do you think that, you know, we're at this tipping point where there might be a quote-unquote professional sponsored level barbecue echelon, you know, where there's going to be some real money to make here?
That's a great question. I don't have the answer to that. I did talk to one promoter who really felt like the good work that MMA and Tribe Targeting was doing was really pulling some sponsors away from events and kind of using, putting those into a different pool, you know, spend their money differently. I don't know. I don't have my pulse on sponsorship. I don't have my finger on the pulse of sponsorship in barbecue right now, but I agree with you. I'm seeing some dwindling purses, and I hope we get a couple of new promoters in maybe that have some contacts and can maybe get us some big events, because the big events is where I want to be in 2013.
All right, so let's transition a little bit here and talk about the sauces and the rubs here. It's the Eat Barbecue line. You have the next big thing in the IPO sauces. You have the Zero to Hero and the Most Powerful Stuff rubs. So four products in total, which we'll be giving away three different times tonight during here of the show. So thanks for that. How long has this been in the works?
You know, Greg, I've wanted to do products for years. I've just never really had the motivation to do it. I've watched guys bring products out. I've watched them struggle with their products. Because, you know, everybody thinks that everybody needs a new barbecue sauce, but truthfully, there are so many choices on the shelf, and most people are grabbing the Kraft, or they're grabbing the Kingsford, or I'm sorry, the Masterpiece stuff. I just needed a reason. So being on Pitmasters finally was kind of my catalyst for finally bringing some products out.
So how does this work exactly? Are you under some kind of a contract? Can you decide to jump out of this business whenever you want to? How does that portion work exactly?
It's all mine. I can jump out of it anytime I want to jump out of it, should I desire to. I'm getting off to a quick start. We're going to be in 49 of the local grocery stores here, Price Chopper stores exclusively in terms of grocery stores, plus plus those locations that are important to us, the Kansas City Barbecue Store and Smoke and Fire here in town. And I'm also placing some product with BigPapaSmokers.com. So I'll have my products out there. I've had a lot of inquiries. I need to get over this first hump. We produce these first two batches of sauce, and they all went to Price Chopper. They're reproduced now. They're going to be labeled in the morning. And my rubs were available starting today, and I've got them here with me. We're just getting going. But I'm in it for the long haul, unless, of course, it just doesn't work out, and then I'm out.
So obviously you are laying out some type of a game plan and benchmarks to hit to figure out if this is going to make sense or not. Is this just going to hopefully be an additional revenue stream into Team Pellet Envy or you know, however you're siphoning it in? Or could this be something that overtakes the team as a whole?
You asked some really great questions I haven't thought a lot about, to be honest with you. Introduce these products. I think they help me round out my career in barbecue. If they generate a little bit of money, all the better. If they don't, I still have rubs and sauces out that are really great products that I'm going to use and support, and I think some other people will too once they try them. And if it develops into something more great, does it mean I'm going to become Eat Barbecue instead of Pellet Envy? Probably not in 2013, but maybe in 2014. Let's see how it goes.
Can you give us some working flavor profiles? You know, when you explain your sauce to somebody, what would you say it's like?
Okay, so what I've done with them is these products are inspired by products that I've used for years. So, for example, I've got a rub called Zero to Hero and a sauce called IPO, and they just happen to both have white caps on them. It's kind of a Granimals kind of a look. And the purpose is the Zero to Hero is a sweet rub. This is what I use on my ribs. It's inspired by a couple of products I've used for years. I've combined those two products and I've reformulated it, and it's all in one bottle. This is the sauce I want to put with the ribs, the IPO sauce. Same goes for the other two. The other rub is the most powerful stuff. This is inspired by a couple of great products I've used for years on my brisket. And with that is a sauce called the Next Big Thing. Also inspired by some great products that I've mixed together and used in the past. Only now it's all in one bottle. That's how they were designed. The sweet rub is pretty sweet. Got a little bit of salt. It'll have great color. This is essentially what I won the national champion in ribs with. The brisket rub is a well-rounded all-purpose rub that would work on anything, but it's savory more than sweet. It's got some chili powders in it. It's got some garlic in it, some onion in it, and it's got quite a bit of salt and pepper in it. So they're completely different from one another, and that's kind of the approach I wanted to take, is that you want to grab a bottle of Zero to Hero and a bottle of IPO and go cook some ribs, you're going to have some really great stuff. If you want to latch onto the most powerful stuff and the Next Big Thing and go cook a brisket, I would tell you it would probably score in a competition with those products.
So inevitably, the question is going to be this. Rod Gray is coming out with his own lines of rubs and sauces. I'm going to go to a competition some week and see Rod Gray there. Are you opening up your bottle of rub and your bottle of sauce, and that's what you're turning in at competitions, or are you still doing some type of a bastardized version of something else?
This will be it. Now, there are four categories, and I'm not going to kid you. I want to win a barbecue contest. If I come out of the gate with these and I'm not doing great with them, then I'm probably going to add something to them, but I'm going to use these products.
All right. As far as number of ingredients in these, like, are we gluten-free? Are we diabetic-friendly? Is there like 5 ingredients or 25 ingredients? What do you think?
What do I think, or do you want me to tell you the truth? Sorry. They're gluten-free. I know that. There's probably, I would say, a dozen ingredients in the Zero to Hero rub, and there's probably 20 ingredients in the Most Powerful Stuff rub. The sauces are pretty basic. Like I said, they're based on some great products I've used in the past. So they're on the sweet side, although the IPO sauce has quite a bit of vinegar in it, and it's a lot thinner, and it's a perfect glaze, whereas the Next Big Thing is a thicker sauce, really more of a traditional Kansas City sauce. Even has a little bit of smoke in it.
All right, Rod Gray joining me here on the show. Rod, why don't you go ahead and take a breather here just for a second. I'm going to go ahead and get a readout, and then we'll come back and talk about some barbecue television here. 877-448-0433, Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com if you want to jump in. All right, gang, look, if you're like me, a backyard hack, you're always trying to think of ways to step your barbecue and grilling game up a notch. No better, no easier way to do that than by using a little Butcher Barbecue and or adding that to your arsenal. Now, if you need a little validation before you head on over to ButcherBBQ.com to order, fine. How about this? The last three winners of the Houston Livestock Barbecue Contest have all used and won with Butcher Barbecue products. Top teams in KCBS, FBA, IBCA use Butcher Barbecue products. How about the fact that the pitmaster of Butcher Barbecue products uses Butcher Barbecue products? Have you heard about that? Oh my. All right, so we all know that Butcher's is well known for their injections, that pork, the beef, now that prime injection, which has combined all the things loved from their beef injection using its award-winning flavor enhancer and its ability to keep your brisket juicy. They've combined it with what has become the competition standard in beef flavor, and it's available for sale right now at butcherbbq.com. Now, perhaps you're looking for a go-to rub or sauce. Friends, you've really hit a motherlode here as well. Butcher's Barbecue has a full line of award-winning rubs. One of my personal favorites is that steak and brisket rub, but you can also grab some honey rub or the premium rub. And by the way, I did mention that premium rub. It's like hand-in-hand working with the injection Butcher's Barbecue because it is formulated to work with the beef injection. A perfect 1-2 punch to impress judges and friends alike. And last but not least, guys, when we talk about sauce, no one's more picky than me when it comes to sauce. I hate most sauces except for my own. But Butcher's Sweet Barbecue Sauce really does it for me here. And it does it for everybody here at the house, too. And I only live with women, so that's saying something. It's not overly sweet. There's a nice slice of tang, just the right amount of back-end heat. For crying out loud, no liquid smoke. Dave took the time and effort to make a quality sauce, and he didn't take the easy way out like most people do when they add that devil's urine. All right, now, grab a box of six because it's going to go fast in your house just like it does in mine. And no worries on breaking the bank when it comes to shipping either. Orders at $55 or less ship at $7, $56 and up ship at $9. It's cheap. Head on over to butcherbbq.com. That's butcherbbq.com. Stock up on all the products. Do what the butcher does because you know you can always trust your butcher. That's butcherbbq.com. Don't forget, if you have some injection from a different manufacturer that you don't like, he is doing the trade-in program still as well. It's got to be commercially made. Send it to Dave. He'll send you back his product in return. ButcherBBQ.com. We're coming back with more barbecue talk. Rod Gray. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You can win. Now it's time to give stuff away.
All right, here's your first time and chance to win the Eat Barbecue line of products, the Next Big Thing IPO. I'm sorry, the Next Big Thing sauce, the IPO sauce, the Zero to Hero rub, and the Most Powerful Stuff rub. One bottle of each to a lucky winner. All you have to do is send me off an email. And in the subject line, F Bomb Barbecue. Spell out barbecue the right way. F-bomb barbecue. Little inside joke for those that listen to the show. Your chance to win the Eat Barbecue products one time out of three times tonight. To win it, good luck.
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back, 877-448-0433. If you want to email the show, Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. And I believe David Garza win the first offering of Eat Barbecue Puff. Congratulations to you, David, being right on the button with F-Bomb Barbecue. Long story, right, Rod? F-Bomb Barbecue.
That's great. I forgot about it, actually. I'm a new man. Closer brought me a Red Bull. I'm ready to go now.
Oh, yeah? All right. Great. Rod Gray joining me here on the show, pelletenvy.com. We were talking, anything to add about the products, Rod?
Yeah, I do need to. First, who just won the first set?
Ed Garza just won.
Congratulations, Ed. I hope you're listening here. Give me a week or so, and I'll get them shipped out to you. I got a busy, busy week this week, and then I'll be in better shape next week.
Yeah, Rod, don't make me look bad now.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Expectations. I'll get it shipped out next week.
No problem. All right. So look forward to that, Ed, and you have two more chances to win during the course of the evening as well. People always interested in the Rod Gray Pellet Envy cooking classes. I know we kind of touched on that a couple minutes ago. What's the schedule looking like this year for the 2013 classes?
Hey, we're all set up. We've got classes on both coasts. I've got one just outside of New York City. I've got one in California, two here in Kansas City. I'd love to host one more in the Houston area if I get it going. I couldn't find a place yet, so we've kind of held off on that. But we've got four classes up and ready to roll. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. What about Cleveland? Any thoughts on Cleveland or the Midwest?
You know, you helped me find a spot, and I'd probably love to do a class. You know, I wanted to go to Chicago, so Cleveland's kind of the same kind of a deal for me. We ought to give that a try. Seriously, I'm not even joking, which I'm never serious. You know that.
Put it together. All right. You'll be I'm sorry. You know, we've hit on cooking classes a few different times, obviously. And you were really, as you had kind of mentioned a few minutes ago, I don't want to say that like the leader in the industry, but really kind of made it a little bit more broad stream than it was, you know, prior with the Dr. Barbecue style classes.
Ray, I really think Ray was the leader, truthfully. You know, we had some classes, but Paul Kirsch's class was probably the initial class that traveled the country and did it. And then Ray stepped it up and taught a little more of a hands-on kind of a competition style class. And then I decided I wanted to dip my toe in that. And I told myself when I did it, Greg, I wanted to do it in a way that it was most important to me that we told it all, that we explained it well, that everybody walked away understanding exactly what I did. That was most important. If that generated more interest in the class, great. But if I was proud of the product that we did, the rest of it would take care of itself. And I really think we've done that. I really do.
So as somebody who studies this industry and is, you know, really steeped into the business side and the competition side as you are, and looking at it objectively, I mean, you know, we have you on for the candor and the honesty. Should there be as many cooking classes out there right now as there are, or should we not fault anyone for being able to pull a class right now?
Okay, so I have two schools of thought of it. And so some of the guys doing them are guys I would consider friends. And so I don't mean I don't want to direct my comments at them personally. What I want to say is this. It's the American dream to own your own business or do your own thing. And so I don't fault anyone for having a class, but I want them to do it for the right reasons. I want them to do it for the betterment of barbecue. I want them to have all of their students or their participants in mind. I don't want them rubbing their hands together and smiling on the way to the bank. And that's the only reason that they do it. And I'm not sure that everybody doing it probably has the students completely at heart. I think some of them maybe do it to fund their barbecue season, which it's buyer beware. You know, I'm not gonna drag them down, but I will tell you that one of the reasons there are so many people taking so many classes is because in the beginning, the classes that were being taught were being done right. That's how I feel about it.
Rod Gray joining me here on the show. Rod, you'll also be appearing in the Barbecue Pitmasters TV show this coming Sunday. And for what I assume is the Kansas City champion theme or whatever it's going to be. And the question is this. Yeah, all anyone ever heard about for years was, why isn't Pellet Envy on the show? So prior to Sunday, why wasn't Pellet Envy on any other season prior to this?
I don't even know that you and I have talked about this, but the way it went down, you know, I was season one, it was going on in 2009. That's when we were hot. And we were being considered for it. I got a phone call that said, Rod, we've got you pegged at number 8. That's the good news. The bad news is we're only going to take 7. But would you please follow us around the country at all these events, and we'll slide you in when we can, or if somebody drops out, you'll pick up that spot. And I thought long and hard about it, and I said no. And in the end, it was a good decision because that was the year we went on to be Team of the Year. So good decision made. 2010 rolls around. I submit for it. They cast us for it. I get a hold of the contract, and the closer decides maybe it's not the best thing for us. We try to get a few carve outs and do a few things different, and it's no go. And so we decline. So season 3 rolls around. I submit. They turn me down. Season 4 rolled around. and there was a Kansas City show, and it's my hometown. It's at the American Royal, one of my favorite contests in the country, and I thought I needed to be a part of it. So I submitted for it, and I got it, and here we are.
All right, so we can't talk specifically, obviously, about the contest this Sunday, but I guess generally speaking, what kind of a time did you have making this episode? And I guess it's important for people to keep in mind that this was made back, you know, this past October during the American Royal competition.
Yeah, it was during the Royal. You know, it was what, 5 months after Sherry's illness, and you know, I went routing around with them about Sherry being on the episode with me. They didn't want her to be on the episode because she was still trying to regain her strength physically, and there may be a point during the day when she might have needed to go lay down. And because this is game show style, you're not allowed to leave the place. So they weren't going to let Sherry do it. And that was a big disappointment to me. I was going to pull out. And finally, I guess they came to their senses, because Sherry's my partner on the show, just like she's my partner on in Pellet Envy. And so we competed that way. And honestly, that made it a big deal for me.
Rye Gray joining me here on the show. I take you someone who is very calculated when it comes to, you know, whether you're going to be starting rubs or whether you decided to get into competition barbecue. So, you know, obviously lends itself to thinking when you're getting into TV things like this, Rod. So was being on Pitmasters, let's call it, a means to an end for you? Was there a bigger end game in mind when you decided to say yes to the initial offer? And from all accounts, you know, the initial offer was like zero prize money, from what I understand as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was another reason that was kind of iffy about this year. Yeah. I mean, I kind of what they did, truthfully. They'd gone to Kingsford and they'd gotten $50,000 to do that series in the spring, and they were so happy with the outcome and the ratings on it that it kind of became Destination America's signature show. And they were in a hurry to do a new fall episode of it, and they ran back to Kingsford to get the money, and Kingsford said, "Well, you're not in our budget again for this year, but come see us in 2013." So, you know, in their hurry to get it done, what they found out is some of us are just total whores and we'll do it for and that's what we did.
All right. So that's weird you say that, because that was kind of like a follow-up question. But if you look over the Pitmasters time span, it was originally thought by, this concept was Chris Lilly's, you know, born and raised. And then he pitched it to John Marcus one day. They go to Outdoor Living Network, wherever the hell they go. That network buys it. And since then, has seen a number of different iterations during the course of those years. I assume you've seen all of them at some point or another on various reruns or as they were happening live. Do you have a favorite season out of all of them, Rod?
Yeah, my favorite season one of this current Pitmasters. For me, to see those guys go around and maybe see some of the things they encountered in an event over the course of eight events. I didn't really care for the Johnny Trick shootout, because that was kind of a made-for-TV thing. You know, people don't know this, but the reason that they changed the format after season one is they thought they'd pick some winners there that would go out and they'd be able to shoot these guys winning every contest. And, you know, Myron won the first contest, even though in real life it was in a cloud of controversy. And then I don't think any of them won ever again. And so by the last episode, they created that episode where at least one of them would win the episode. And that's kind of what spawned my video for season two, when I essentially said, if you'd have picked me, maybe you wouldn't have to change the format. Because and they liked it, Greg, of all things, but they did. Because honestly, I'd won three contests during the time span those guys were out traveling that seven event circuit. So, yeah, I've seen them all. I've been a part of a lot of them. Yeah, I've been there. You know, out in Reno, I helped Johnny. And, you know, the first season, they filmed it on site at events. And we saw one in Bentonville. And we saw one. So, yeah, I'm familiar with the whole evolution of the thing. Yeah.
I've had John Marcus on the show a number of times, and obviously he knows TV quite a bit more than me. I currently have zero shows on television, and he's got Emmys. And, you know, you reference the fact that, you know, season one on a network standpoint might have been a little disappointing because there wasn't a lot of the people that they had on the show winning, aside from that first one that Myron Mixon won. And my thought has always been this. You know, you see the shows that are successful, and I'm not a very big reality television guy whatsoever. But the shows to me that pique my interest really have nothing. It's not Chopped. It's not Barbecue Pitmasters the way it is right now. I like to see you guys on television because I've had you on the show, and it's fun to see you in a different aspect, but it's not the format of the show for me isn't what I like. It's following you around or following Johnny Trigger or whoever around, and we get to see them. It's a barbecue show, and we'll see them compete, but what's happening on the way there or what's happening during the middle of the night or is there – to me, and I have no idea what I'm talking about, but there seems to have to be a show there because there's Honey fucking Boo Boo on television.
Yeah, and there's Duck Dynasty, and there's Gold, the Gold Rush guys. And here's the problem. All that shit doesn't happen to people in real life. That stuff's being scripted. So what we'd end up with is we'd go cook these contests maybe, and then from the time we left the contest to the time of the next one, they'd script some crap where stuff would, goofy stuff would happen to us, I guess. And maybe that'd be an interesting show, and maybe it wouldn't be.
Was there any coaching or suggesting on, like, smack talk or anything like that during your time on there, or was it all very organic?
Organic. It really was. I don't recall them. You know, it was a really long day, and I don't recall them asking us to go over to one of our neighbors and do or say anything. Some of that went on. Most of it was done by Stretch and Craig Adcock. They were in the middle between Tim Grant and I. And Tim and I kind of had our heads down and were there to try to win a barbecue contest. And I don't think that Trim and I don't think that Stretch and Craig weren't there to win. But I think they're just a little more fun-loving guys, and they had some fun with us during the way.
Rod Gray from Pellet Envy joining me here on the show. We're talking about this upcoming Sunday. He will be on Barbecue Pitmasters. Were you a little disappointed, you know, in some other seasons there was a culminating champion, you know, you have a winner of an episode and they move on to a final round. Would you have liked to have seen, you know, a battle of regions, as it were?
Yeah. Wouldn't that have been cool? Or if they want it, you know, and if they want a little redemption there, why don't they bring the winners of their events back and stir us in, mix us in to this new spring season they're casting now. And let some of those guys go up against some of the other guys and let us get involved in a tournament style event. That's what I'd like to see.
What do you think of the judges?
No comment.
No comment. Do you think Myron Mixon has run its course on Barbecue Pitmasters?
No, I don't.
Really?
I will tell you, as I travel the country, when I pull over with that green pit by my truck, the first question out of their mouth is, were you on Pitmasters? And the second question is, do you know Myron Mixon? Is he really like that? I really think as you know, Myron isn't really that way one-on-one. You and I probably know that.
I know.
And in him, obviously, or he couldn't put it on television that way. I don't think he's a great actor. I think some of it's there. But I think a little bit of it's for camera. But somehow he's endeared himself to the public. And I don't think Myron is, you know, I don't think Myron is going away anytime soon. Now, I'm very good friends with Tuffy Stone. I think Tuffy does a fine job. I think Aaron is a good guy. I just think Aaron is like Tuffy Stone's younger brother or clone, and we need a third personality that's a little different than Myron and different than Tuffy. And I think that would make the show a little better.
If somebody asked you who that could possibly be, who would you suggest?
Can you see me right now? Can you see me?
I can see that guy right there. That guy knows barbecue. Rod Gray.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, pelletenvy.com is the website. So you're open for that extra personality to mix in with his other two guests.
I think we need somebody different there. No offense to Aaron. I just think that Tuffy and Aaron are pretty calculated guys, and they're pretty analyzing guys. And I think we need something different there. And I think Johnny Trigger would be a good choice. I think there are probably lots of great choices to put in that spot. But I just think there needs to be a third dynamic there that we're not seeing.
After this current season is, you said they were casting for, you know, season whatever it's going to be. Will this show eventually go away sooner than later, do you think?
Well, they're going to run through all the good cooks, and they're going to be left with a bunch of people that are probably lesser cooks. I don't know how long it'll take, and I don't know when it'll lose its interest. And I'll tell you this, I'm a little disappointed in the time slot this year. Because up until, well, these first three episodes have gone up against Sunday Night Football, and I think that's a big mistake. I think the same guys watching Sunday Night Football might flip over with his beer in his hand and watch Barbecue Pitmasters. And they were originally slated for Saturdays, about 6 o'clock or something. I think that would have been a much better choice, personally.
Rod Gray is the pitmaster of Pellet Envy. You can see him coming up on this Sunday's edition of Barbecue Pitmasters. And, of course, we have two more chances next hour to win the Eat Barbecue products. Rod, always appreciate the time. Good luck with the products line. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Thanks, Greg. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Say that again.
Check out eatbarbecue.com. And don't forget about Grease Lightning. Those guys support barbecue and they support me. Support them, please.
That's right. There he is. Rod Gray, everybody. Grease-lightning.com, by the way. That's actually a very good product. I'm not just saying that because Rod was right there. I use it. It's in my house. I could go get it if I wanted to. I'm not going to get it. Eatbarbecue.com. I don't know if that's, I mean, it's there. I don't know if you can actually order anything off of there at this point or not, but I know you can get it at the Kansas City Barbecue Store if you want to buy it online, or you can, you know, try your luck. Roll the dice twice next hour. Dave Garza was the winner of the first offering of the Eat Barbecue products. All right, we'll wrap the first hour up here right after this. A quick message about Stephen DeFranco, a barbecue jeweler to the stars. There you go. Wow. Look at that one. That's a pretty one. Did you get what you wanted for Christmas? Did you get what you wanted to give to somebody for Christmas? Take it back if you think you paid too much. And call my buddy Steve DeFranco at Stephen DeFranco's Jeweler. StephenDeFranco.com. Peruse the website, like I tell you to do every week. Find what you want, whether it be watches, whether it be earrings, whether it be rings or necklaces, or craft glassware or pottery or cottage watches, you name it, he's got it. And he's going to give you one hell of a deal. Believe you me, he's going to be saving you money hand over fist. So here's what you do. You go to the website, StephenDeFranco.com, and then you call him once you find what you like, 440-943-2700, 440-943-2700, and tell him that you're a barbecue brother or sister. Did you listen to the show, or did you hear me talk about them all the time on the show, or did you hear me rave about my watches that I have, or the thousands of dollars that I have saved when I buy watches and jewelry for my wife? And he will hook you up seismically. And don't forget, when you're dealing with Stephen DeFranco, not only are you getting expertise, not only are you dealing with the owner of the store, not some, you know, hack manager for a chain store, you're going to get counsel. You know, I've gotten a lot of emails from people over the last 6, 7, 8 months saying, hey, I just want to let you know, I didn't buy anything from Steve yet, but I was on the phone with him for 45 minutes or an hour discussing why a watch is like this, or what makes this diamond sparkle like that, or what cut I should get, or how much money I should look to budget. He's there to help you with all of your needs. It's not just a quick sale for him. He wants the repeat business. He wants to make sure that you're making the best decision and staying within the budget, and that you're spending wisely. All key factors to take into account. Because look, jewelry is expensive now. And you're getting a good deal here, but it's still, you know, expensive when you're looking at it in the overall sense. StephenDeFranco.com. That's StephenDeFranco.com. Then call him, 440-943-2700. My official jeweler. Should be yours too. Just wasting money if you're not. All right, we'll come back to wrap it up right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Advice on cooking brisket and ribs, and the only host willing to share his honest opinion on all things important in the world of barbecue, it's the Barbecue Central Show.
All right, we're back wrapping up the first hour. Thanks again to Rod Gray for joining me for the last two segments. Really wonderful conversation there, lots to react to. He is throwing his vote behind Stephanie Wilson for KCBS Board of Directors. He voted while he was talking with me. We talked extensively about why he decided to get into the sauce and rub business at this point. Look, there's roughly 5 billion rubs and 10, 20 billion sauces to choose from right now. So to make the leap into that sector of the industry is A, risky beyond belief, but You got a good marketing team behind him there. He's got a lot of success behind him there. So perhaps more than obviously me or some of us who have people saying, hey, you should definitely get into the rub mate. You should sell your sauce. And somebody tells me that, I just laugh at him. I'm like, go to the grocery store and find the 50,000 other sauces that you could buy. And trust me, if I'm selling my sauce out of my house, it's going to be like $12 for a quart or something like that. What do you call those things? Mason jars. Forget it. Nobody's going to buy that. It's way too expensive. I use the high quality ingredients, pal. Yeah, so thanks again to Rod Gray, eatbarbecue.com, pelletenvy.com. And you have two chances next hour to win the next big thing and the IPO sauce. You also have a chance to win the Zero to Hero and the Most Powerful Stuff rubs. One bottle of each. Two winners winning a total of 8 bottles. 4 bottles for one winner, 4 bottles for the next one. Everything for free. And it will be shipping later, next week. Let me check an email here real quick. Rich Conley weighing in. Great split screen. Must be new to watching. We try and keep it high tech here. Video is always good. All right, we'll step away. We'll reload for the second hour, second takes, and then famous Dave Anderson for the balance of the second hour. You're listening and watching the Barbecue Central Show right here on the Barbecue Central Networks.
What's up? This is JM, host of the Celebrity Grill podcast on iTunes, and you're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Network. All barbecue and grilling, all the time.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Happy to have you aboard here for the really big barbecue show.
We cook because we have to, and we grill because we want to.
Fine, how's it going?
You have a great show. I'm a big fan. So what seems to be the problem here? This man looks like he's dead, and he's in the crackle.
Charbono! It's all about the Charbono, dude!
Succulent fish, what?
He ate 54 wieners.
Now listen, Lavernius, shake your face.
I'm shaking like a dog shitting peach seeds.
You could use it to fight off creeping marauders looking to take your steaks off your grills.
I just like being anywhere with Junior, Senior, and Diva.
Sounds like a whole other type of movie.
Wow. Yeah, really.
Keep it hot, keep it clean, keep it lubricated.
We have top men working on it right now. Ooh, top men.
All right, just like that, we are into the second hour. You want to jump in, 877-448-0433. Email Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. David Garza won the first offering of rubs and sauces from the e-barbecue products from Rod Gray, Pellet Envy. I see we're talking about who would be a good replacement judge here in the chat room. Let me go back up here. Diva, Danielle Dabowski from Diva Q getting some love there. Danielle is on another network. Well, that's all right. But she's in Canada, so it doesn't count. Looks like Melissa Cookston is getting a little talk there, which I could see. She obviously knows her stuff. But she could possibly be considered as more of a female Myron, depending on how she wanted to play it. I don't know if that would be very well. Let's see. Sylvie Curry as a judge. Diva again. After a few Barbecue Central shows back, I think Greg's wife would hold her own with my... Oh, David. Leanne Whippin. I don't think she'd be a very good judge. Greg's wife, Holsting, a couple times. Ted Reeder. I think Ted would be a very good judge. Jason Waters would like to see Bobby and Maddie host the show just one time. They would love that. They could actually navigate through the software as well. Dave Bosca also getting some run for a special judge. I could see that. I could see that. There you go. Yeah. Boom. Butcher for judge. That's funny. All right. There we go. On the show next week, guys, Brian Munter from PitPal. Do you have a smartphone? Do you have an iPad? Some type of smart device, tablet? This is something that you might want to pay attention to next week. Also, Stephanie Wilson. Oddly enough, we were just mentioning her a couple times this past hour. She'll be talking about her run for the KCBS Board of Directors. And obviously, she's from slabs.com. So Brian and Stephanie Wilson slotted for next week, amongst others. Oh, that's what we have locked and loaded already. Don't forget that we move back to Tuesday nights next week. So I guess this is what they call in the business a short week. Gotta do a quick turnaround. All right, I told you I had a frog in the throat. I told you I had a big special announcement. Here it is. Folks, get ready for this. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Get ready for a finger-licking good time with the Smokin' at the Run barbecue event, March 15th and 16th in Miami, Oklahoma. This is a first-time contest. It is KCBS-sanctioned. The entry fee, $200, which includes a 20x40 on pavement and limited electrical sites of 30 and 20 amp. There's a $7,500 payout. And, of course, the biggest news of all. Contracts are signed. I will be emceeing this event live and in person. That's right. This guy is going to be at the Smokin' at the Run barbecue event March 15th and 16th. I'm going to be emceeing it, hosting it, whatever you want to call it, in person. Director of the event, David Qualls, and I were able to strike an agreement. And man, am I pumped up to get out there in March and MC that event. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to meet a lot of folks who I have been able to talk to on the show before in person, which I love doing that. So big thanks to Dave and the folks at the Buffalo Run Casino and Hotel for hooking this up. And once again, it's called the Smokin' at the Run. It will be held March 15th and 16th. If you're interested in getting in on that event, go to the Barbecue Central home and scroll all the way down to the bottom right. You'll see that little 125 by 125 logo of Smokin' at the Run. A click on that, it will link you right over to the homepage for the contest. Sign up. It's a really good first-time purse, and you can meet me in person. Yeah! That's got to be worth $200, right? Totally got to be worth $200. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be a great time. If you ever want a chance to meet me and you want to do your first barbecue competition, and you live, Miami, Oklahoma is in the northeast corner of the state. So you could be pulling from, you know, your various regions right there. I'm not overly geographical on that particular place, but I believe, you know, there's a pretty good barbecue population out there. Let's see. Somebody just asked me, Don G is asking, have I ever been to Oklahoma? Negative. Farthest west I have ever been was St. Louis, Missouri for the Kingsford Invitation. Not quite close enough. The question is, will Greg go noodling while he's there? You're damn right I'm going to go noodling. I don't even know what that means. Diane Mee, that's not very funny at all, talking about Johnny Frank. I'm seeing a little chatter about how, you know, warm is it going to be out there. Look, I live in Cleveland. It's not warm here ever. Ever.
Get that big stuff out of here.
So I'm pretty sure I'll be able to weather the storm if there is anything. But look, the weather's going to be great. Anytime you can, move a little bit west, it's wonderful. So it's going to be absolutely fabulous. So again, if you're going to be out there or you're looking for a reason to get out there March 15th and 16th, take part in a first-time event. You get to see me MC it, which is, you know, bountiful and really priceless, all in the same sentence. Go to the Barbecue Central Radio Network's homepage and then scroll down, click on the Smokin' at the Run logo. That'll link you over to the Smokin' at the Run homepage, and you can go ahead and enter. Again, $200 entry fee, 20x40 spot right on the pavement there. So really looking forward to that. It's going to be a fabulous time. Let me see if I can pull this up. I hope this is still an active. Oh, no. Is this not active anymore? I had a feeling. See, sometimes, you know, I find all of this great stuff to show. Copy. Let me pull out a screen here. You know, some people die and... Yeah. And... Oh, paste and go. Let's see. Let me see if the story's still up here. Some people really love barbecue now, right? Yeah, here we go. Let me show you this. This guy's crazy. What is going on here? Oh, no, I don't want to provide feedback. Cheapo paper. Here's a guy. TLC, Best Funeral Ever Reality Show Exclusive. If reality shows weren't crazy enough, TLC ready to put the fun back into funeral. The network has ordered a special backdoor pilot. Best Funeral Ever, which goes behind the scenes of unconventional funeral parlor. For instance, here at the Golden Gate Funeral Home, Dallas-based funeral director John Beckwith Jr. works with families to create a central theme for memorial and then throws a wild party. Examples include Christmas-inspired funeral complete with reindeer and a singer known for his famous rib sauce jingle remembered at a barbecue-themed funeral, including live pigs, praise dancers, and a barbecue sauce fountain where loved ones dipped ceremonious ribs to say goodbye. We're going to make these families extremely happy at the worst moment of their lives. I mean, I can see what you're trying to do there. Unfortunately, the fact is you're at a funeral, folks.
Get that big stuff out of here.
So, you know, no matter how cool this looks to you, being buried in a smoker casket, is that right? Smoker casket? I don't know if that's going to make you feel a lot better considering that the loved one that is dead is right there in that cooker. I mean, that's a dead guy in there. Chef's hats aren't fooling me. Barbecue aprons aren't fooling me. I know what's going on there, pal. That's my dead uncle, Timmy. And quite frankly, he's dead. He's not coming back, and I don't care if that barbecue smoker pit, whatever, is it's not going to fool me. All right, let me get out and be ready for Dave Anderson here. Quickly do this read. Longest running sponsor of the show, Barbecue Guru. If you're looking for an automatic temperature control device, don't look anywhere else. These are the creators of the technology. They have a number of different models to choose from. CyberQ Wi-Fi, most popular right now. You can connect it to Wi-Fi networks. If you have a tablet, a smartphone, a netbook, a laptop. You can connect into the device. You can see where the temperature's at. You can see where up to three different internal meat temperatures are at if you want to. If you're cooking too fast, you can ramp the pit temperature up right from your phone or smart device or Wi-Fi connected device. Stop into Starbucks to grab a cup of coffee. You can also jump on your device through Wi-Fi and see where your cook is going while you're out running errands. You're not tending pit temperatures all day long. You can go to thebbqguru.com. You can also email them. You can also call them at 800-288-GURU. That's 800-288-G-U-R-U. Ask a lot of questions. Look at their smokers. They do have a host of other barbecue products that will make your grilling and barbecue life a lot easier as well. TheBBQGuru.com or 800-288-GURU. They will make sure that you're outfitted with exactly what you need to get you up and running right out of the box. We're coming back with your second chance to win. Eat barbecue products. Get those fat fingers ready. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Now's the time on the show where we give stuff away. People give us stuff to give away right here on the show right now.
All right, your second opportunity to win. Eat barbecue products. Sauce, the next big thing. Sauce, IPO. Rubs, zero to hero. Also, the most powerful stuff.
The most powerful stuff. Okay.
So you can win all four. You blast me off an email. And in the subject line, you put, eat barbecue more for dinner. Eat barbecue more for dinner. And you can win a full complement of the new Eat Barbecue products. The next big thing and the IPO sauces, the zero to hero, and the most powerful stuff, rubs. all from Eat Barbecue. Your chance to win it. Good luck.
Broadcasting live from the Barbecue Central Radio Network studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back. Congratulations to Heath Hall from Pork Barrel Barbecue for winning. First one in, Eat Barbecue More for Dinner. Wow, a lot of people listening, too. Just got flexed. Holy moly. That was craziness. Rest easy, rest assured, folks. You have one more chance to win the new line of rubs and sauces from Rod Gray and Eat More Barbecue. But this one goes to Heath Hall, who ironically makes his own barbecue rubs and sauces. 877-448-0433, greg@thebbqcentralshow.com. My next guest in the second hour really needs no introduction at all. One of the unique things about covering the barbecue and grilling industry, as I have over the past 5 years or so, is the fact that many of the folks that are making great changes and finding great success are alive and well for me to talk to, and some have reached out and gotten that legend or iconic status. This guest certainly hits those marks in a number of areas for this industry. Let's not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and race over to the hotline. Welcome first-timer to the show, a barbecue grilling icon, famous Dave Anderson, joining me here on the show. Dave, how are you, buddy?
I am rocking and rolling, hunky-dory, feeling groovy, setting the world on fire, got a piggy by the tail. If I felt any better, they'd call the police.
He shot out of a cannon, ladies and gentlemen. Dave.
There ain't no grass growing underneath these feet, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, where in the hell are we going to start with you, Dave? You know, most of the people in this industry know you, I guess, peripherally, if they know you, as, you know, that successful guy with the restaurant side of things, the rib burn-offs, some of the TV appearances you've done. But when you actually go back and start to read that timeline of Dave Anderson, you quickly realize that it was really business and sales success for you first, barbecue success. You know, kind of a little bit later on, not that the desire and the love for barbecue wasn't there, but the business side of that a little bit later. Are you able to give us a little insight to the types of businesses that you were in and that subsequent success you experienced with those positions?
Well, I think before we get to business, I think folks need to understand my personal background. Both my parents are Native American. My dad's a full-blood Choctaw Indian from Idabel, Oklahoma, which is the southeastern tip of Oklahoma, and if you spit, you're spitting in Texas or Arkansas, I think, in three states. That's how far down southeastern Oklahoma is, and it's on my dad's side is where the love for southern food and barbecue comes from. And then my mom, she's from the Lacouture tribe in Hayward, Wisconsin, which is way up in the northwest corner of Wisconsin. And I'm often asked, well, how did some southern dude get to meet some gal from way up north? Well, way back when, both of my parents were stuck in Indian boarding schools by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and they actually met at Haskell Institute for Indians in Lawrence, Kansas. And back in the late 40s, they moved to Chicago because that's where the jobs were at the time. And my dad, being up north, married to some gal from the north, missed his southern home cooking. He used to start hauling my mom down south every other weekend till she learned how to cook southern. And so that starts the journey for me in how important southern food was to my family. And then on my mom's side, you know, we didn't have much in the early days. My mom would have a what was known as an Indian fry bread stand, which she would set up at the various Indian powwows throughout Wisconsin and, you know, where a lot of these tribes are, Minnesota And as you know, in my teenage years, I can remember working in my mom's Indian fry bread stand where we would make Indian fry bread. We'd make venison sandwiches. We would, take and barbecue the venison, so to speak, and grill it over, you know, smoldering coals and fire. But also we made a wild rice soup. And today, in all the famous Dave's restaurants, this wild rice soup is still served kind of in honor of that. And then growing up, my dad, being in the construction business, worked with a lot of black construction workers, and they knew where all the barbecue joints were on the west side of Chicago, these little black-owned mom-and-pop-type storefront barbecue joints. And that's where my dad found a great barbecue in the city of Chicago, and he used to bring that home to us. And so growing up, I kind of knew where every barbecue joint was in the city of Chicago. And I kind of knew we were different from any of the other kids on the block, because when all the other families were going out for pizza and burgers, my dad was headed down to the west side of Chicago for barbecue. So that kind of starts my story about, you know, where we got the start for barbecue, or the love for barbecue. And but then growing up in Chicago, I've always been sort of entrepreneur in my thinking. I've always, I couldn't stand working for anybody. Never really have all these years. At my in my first business when I was 19, I started a wholesale plant business where I would buy plants out of Florida, and then I would wholesale them to florists around the city. And through the years, I've owned a cabin building company, sort of like a construction company. I bought and sold lakeshore property. I've just done a lot of things, including being one of the founders of Grand Casinos.
I was going to say, we're talking with Dave Anderson, by the way, famousdaves.com, if you want to check out the online presence. You do have kind of...
Famousdaveanderson.com.
Famous Dave Anderson. I was giving the restaurant only, I guess, sir. Famousdaveanderson.com as well. You do have that that gaming experience. You know, you hear a lot of the pros and the cons. We're going to diverge here just a little bit for a second, Dave. But, you know, you hear some pros and some cons about casinos, whether it be on the reservations or in big cities across the country. There was just one right here in Cleveland, Ohio, that opened a handful of months ago. And having seen and having been in that industry for some time and serving on some gaming task forces, how do you see casinos in relation to boosting or hurting local economies? Because there is kind of that scuttlebutt between the two.
Well, I haven't seen where casinos have hurt the economy. Otherwise, I think they would have run out of town some time ago. You know, the fact is, I think that all types of gaming are expanded. And by the way, I chose, you know, to walk away from it all. I didn't want my family or my sons to think that's where Dad hung his hat in life. And you know, left a pretty good job. And I don't gamble. And when I was involved, I was kind of on the food side. But, you know, for Native Americans, it's been a real opportunity. And although some people think that every tribe is rolling in the cash just because they have a casino, that's not entirely true. But, you know, at some point, I've kind of have come to peace myself with it. I have seen a lot of people gamble on the stock market. I've seen people who are in the real estate business. I think it's like anything else. It's probably entertainment if you're able to control it, and if you can't, you probably shouldn't be gaming. And the same way with the stock market, it's investing if you can control it and understand what you're doing. If you don't, then you're going to lose your butt.
Absolutely. Dave Anderson joining us here on the show, Famous Dave's. Dave, you know, another thing that I found kind of going back and doing a little study on you is that you earned a master's degree from Harvard, and in parentheses, without having an undergraduate degree. And I thought that was kind of like a part and parcel deal. You had to have the undergraduate to get the master's. Were you earning both at the same time, or how did that actually work out?
Well, I think that the story is even more than that, because the other part of the story, I was in the bottom half of my class in high school, and it wasn't until years later that I found out that I had attention deficit disorder, which explained a lot of, you know, my thinking that I felt like I was the dumbest kid in class. But no, I do not have an undergraduate degree. So, you know, a lot of my life is really overcoming adversities. You know, I haven't been born on the right side of the tracks. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. And so I think if anybody were to put a title on my life story, it would be Against All Odds. But I've always been driven. I've never been one to give up. I have always worked hard. I don't have a problem working 7 days a week. I don't have a problem working around the clock. You know, just roll up your sleeves, whatever it takes. Let's get to work. Let's get, you know, and I don't quit until the job's done. And I think because of my work ethic and a number of other things, you know, I'm very active in the community. And I think it was because of my involvement in the community that I was recognized to be put on Governor Tony Earle's Council of Tourism in the state of Wisconsin and Council for Minority Business Development in the state of Wisconsin. And it was those two things that got me recognized for a Bush Leadership Fellowship. And Bush not having anything to do with President Bush, but it was more of Alfred Bush, who was one of the key entrepreneurs in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. So I basically had a full ride to any school that would have me. And up to at the time, it was $60,000 a year. So I applied to Harvard, and because of the things that I had accomplished in life, they got me in based on that. Even though in high school I was in the bottom half of the class that made the top half possible.
Yeah, you and me both, Dave, in high school, no doubt about it. Maybe I was probably in the bottom five. I graduated, like 125 kids, and I was definitely in the hundreds without getting a little too detailed. But yeah, I mean, you know, you learn things in life. Do you attribute the hard work ethic and the non-afraid to roll up the sleeves and work 7 days a week? Is that something that was instilled in you and watching your parents? Or is that something that was just kind of ingrained in you and it was always with Dave Anderson?
Well, I grew up in a very blue-collar family where my dad was always working. You know, he worked two or three jobs and was never without work, you know, and when he'd get home, he would work on remodeling the home and family home, you know, but he was always working. And my mom, she worked as a secretary in downtown Chicago, and I watched her, on cold wintering mornings, stand outside waiting for a bus just to go to work, and then she'd come home and would take care of the family, cook and clean house and do all her laundry. And so I grew up in a home that was always working, and so I knew when I had my first job. I actually was working in a factory, and at lunchtime, about a week into my first job, a whole bunch of guys got around me shaking their fists. They said, "You better quit working so hard, or we're gonna, you're gonna get some of this." And I had no idea what they were talking about until they said that this was a union shop and I couldn't work so hard. And I said, "Well, this ain't for me," and I got out of there.
Dave Anderson joining us here on the show. When you started to make your own businesses, and you said you always had that entrepreneurial spirit, were your parents always supportive of your endeavors, or did they ever caution you to, you know, maybe go this way or go that way?
Not really. They were always supportive. But I don't think, my dad being a construction worker, I don't think he could advise me anyway. I think he was always proud that I was out doing something, because I was always working. You know, I wasn't fooling around. I wasn't, you know, goofing off or anything. I was pretty much working. You know, I worked longer than he did, and I can remember when I was 20 years old. I was I got my first order, and I walked out of this flower shop with a check for $736.35. Still remember it to this day. And I was looking at that check. This was back in the early 70s, 1971. And I can remember thinking, man, I just made more money than my dad makes all week, you know, in just one day. And so that kind of started me on to being a entrepreneur. So almost all my life I've owned businesses, but, you know, I've also failed. I know what it means to have your car repossessed. I know what it means to have to pawn my wife's jewelry just because I pawned everything else in the house. I know what it means to have to dig through seat cushions to find change so I could buy milk for my kids. So, you know, I've been through the tough times. It always hasn't been easy, but I've also had this, I've had a mentor who got me on the straight and narrow, got me reading good books. And today I always tell young people to, you know, ever since I was 19, I've been listening to cassette tapes. You know, back then it was cassette tapes. Today it's CDs. But I've always, before I turn on the music, I always listen to something edifying. I listen to books on CDs, and I look at my car as my university on wheels instead of just seeing it as transportation.
Famous Dave Anderson joining us here on the show. You know, Dave, if we can kind of transition here to the barbecue side of things before we go to the first break here. You know, 1994, you opened that first Famous Dave's restaurant in Hayward, Wisconsin. Look, I'm probably not breaking any news to you here. Probably not traditionally known as a barbecue hotbed, especially back then. Any concern initially about the success that you would have there? Did you do like a lot of vetting for, you know, barbecue wants and needs at that point? It does seem like kind of a non-traditional spot.
I was just always driven that, you know, for all of my life, even 1994, well, I started building it in 1993, but before I opened my first restaurant, I had spent probably 25 years just working on recipes, and my son growing up can tell you, that was back in my drinking years too. I've been sober now for 18 years, and I think that's important fact about my story. But my son can remember getting up for school, and his clothes would smell like fried onions or garlic or whatever I was working on in my kitchen to figure out how to make a great tasting barbecue sauce or, you know, vinegar or smoke or, you know, and he can remember, I would be making barbecue sauce all night after I'd come home from some bar or something, and he would have to push all these seasonings off the table just so he could find a place to eat his bowl of cereal before he went to school. But he used to hate it going to school because he'd smell like barbecue sauce. And so for 25 years before I even opened up my first Famous Dave's, I must have made 1 million gallons of sauce. I must have smoked up 1 million tons of ribs. And just every day I was devoted to making great recipes. And so when I started my first restaurant, I already had great barbecue. I knew that. And I used to compete before I even started the first Famous Dave's. And this was long before, really KCBS really got their foothold or, any of the National Barbecue Association. Back then, there used to just be a handful of really just some guys that would get together, and maybe no more than 10 would show up with the craziest things that, back then the barbecue pits that we had were really makeshift. You know, my first pit was nothing more than a galvanized garbage can. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why today in all my restaurants I have a garbage can lid where I serve my All-American Barbecue Feast. That garbage can pays homage to my first pit that I made from scratch. But way back when, you know, there would only be, you know, maybe 10 or 12 people or 8 people or sometimes 5 or 6 people show up for a rib cook-off. So I kind of won a couple of those, and but I think the biggest thing for me was I would always have barbecue parties, and I would always test out my barbecue at some barbecue get together or some backyard picnic or whatever. And people started saying, "Dave, this stuff is so good, you ought to open up your own restaurant." And so I knew my barbecue was going to be good from the day I decided to open up. And people, I can remember they would drive by this building I was building in Hayward, Wisconsin, which is way up north in a town of only 1,800 people. And they would drive by and they would say, "Hey, Dave, what are you building?" And I would tell them, "I'm building the world's best rib joint." And they would actually laugh and they would say, "Are you crazy? In Hayward, Wisconsin, there ain't nothing but Swedes and Norwegians up here, and they don't know crap about barbecue. You ought to go down to Memphis or go down to Kansas City where people really know what barbecue is." But I kind of, I told those naysayers that I was going to have the world's best rib joint. I was going to have the best barbecue sauce. I was going to have the best honey buttered cornbread, the best homemade creamy coleslaw, the best barbecue baked beans. And I didn't care a hoot of what they said. My dream was set. And sure enough, in a little town of only 1,800 with no advertising, by the end of the summer, we were serving almost 4,000 to 5,000 people a week.
Dave Anderson.
And it's just been unbelievable since then.
Dave Anderson joining us here on the show. Dave, go ahead and refill a glass of water there real quick while I do a quick read for my friend Dave Bernardo over at Tasty Licks Barbecue, and then we'll pick the talk right back up. Having an absolutely fabulous time with Dave. Famous Dave Anderson of Famous Dave's. FamousDaveAnderson.com, FamousDaves.com as well. Again, let me quickly tell you about Tasty Licks Barbecue Supply. Look, you get on the internet, I think we can all agree there are unsavory characters and creeping marauders all about on every turn. And sometimes you're looking for a barbecue or grilling item that just isn't stocked anywhere in your hometown or the next town over from that even. And your options have become limited. You're now forced to go online to buy that item, or you might have to go without it. We don't want that. So the internet grip starts to set in, right? The hand starts to sweat. Your neck starts to tighten. You've been jammed up on that internet before. You don't want it to happen again. After all, this is your hard-earned money you are spending, and you need to feel confident that the company you're buying from is honest and fair. Great news, folks. Let Fred Bernardo and the gang over at Tasty Licks Barbecue relieve you of your internet buying stresses. Tasty Licks has one of the most complete inventories of barbecue and grilling items anywhere on the face of the earth. All the items that you see on Fred's website are in stock, and they're ready to ship to you directly. Now, are there other places on the internet that you might be able to find an item cheaper? Perhaps. But are you 100% confident that you're actually going to get the item that you buy? How long is it going to take to get to you when it ships? All great questions that no one can answer with 100% assurity. And that's why when you buy from Tasty Licks Barbecue Supply, the items are in the store, they ship to you promptly, everything priced fairly. Hell, if you want to try and work out a deal with Fred on your own, I'm sure he'd be happy to take your call and work something out with you. He's a business guy. Tasty Licks carries grills, smokers, ceramic cookers, electric cookers, various charcoal types, wood chunks, chips, cookbooks, accessories. If they don't have it, you don't need it. And on top of all of that, Fred carries many of these other show sponsors right there in his store as well. So you're doing like a two-for-one. You're shopping at a sponsor and you're buying sponsors' products. Best of both worlds, and they also make their own line of Tasty Licks barbecue rubs and sauces. Got to try those. So head on over to TastyLicksBBQ.com and let the confidence exude from you as you make your online purchases, then enjoy your items upon delivery. And don't forget that Fred and gang are there to help you after the sale as well. Very important. Don't want to be in your head after the sale. I've done that about once or 5 billion times. TastyLicksBBQ.com. That's TastyLicksBBQ.com. More with Famous Dave in 5 seconds. Stick around.
Smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
37 past, 877-448-0433. Greg at the BBQ Central Show.com talking to Famous Dave Anderson. Dave, we were talking about that outrageous success you were having after you really kind of proved those naysayers wrong. So I guess the next logical question for me is this. Is there an incorrect, or perhaps it's incorrect, presumption on my part that if you go into this with some type of a franchising idea in the back of your mind, or was that something that came later given the success that the original restaurant had?
That kind of came later. When we first started out, my next restaurant was in Minneapolis, because what would happen when I was walking through my restaurant in Hayward, and we'd be packed, you know, we often had like a 2-hour wait for wow. people just to get in. And then when they come in, I'd be walking through the restaurant. People literally would grab me by my shirt sleeve and they'd say, "Hey, I want to talk to you." Kind of took me back at first, and they'd say, "Hey, I want to talk to you. You got to put one of these in Chicago, or you got to put one of these in Minneapolis, or you got to put one of these in Madison, Wisconsin." So my first outside of Hayward, Wisconsin, my first restaurant in the city was in Minneapolis, and it was a an old gas station that had gone out of business. We rehabbed it. It was no more than 2,900 square feet with 50 seats. And again, within a month or two, we had people lined up outside the door waiting 2 hours to get in. And they were actually fighting for chairs. And so that's when we started to build more. And at some point, people started saying, we'd like to own one of these. Do you want a franchise? Yeah. And so we kind of went down the franchising route. I think it's a good system. The one thing I got to tell you is that anybody who knows me knows that I'm very much about quality control, and I'm very much about systems. And, you know, everything that we do at Famous Dave's is handwritten. I mean, absolutely everything, from the signs to the hours to the, you know, you can't do anything without it being part of a system. And so I think, you know, and those of you that barbecue, you know that as well. Consistency, high quality of your ingredients, high quality of your meat, high quality of your barbecue equipment, your tools, your smokers, the better equipped you are, the better the notes that you take, the better your systems are, the, you know, the more chances or the more opportunities you'll have at winning in a cook-off. Well, it's the same way, you know, I took the same philosophies in my business that, you know, at Famous Dave's, almost everything that we do is, you know, there's something written about it. And that's how you train somebody else. And our standards, I can remember when I first started out, I had specific standards of my meat. I just didn't go into a butcher shop or a hog slaughtering house or meat packer and say, you know, I need 4 cases of ribs. I actually would interview them, and I would say, now, these are how I need my ribs. I need them cut like this. And many times these butchers would escort me out the door and say, first of all, you're crazy. These are animals. You're never going to get those standards. Well, I will tell you, today we have the highest standards in the industry, and I have never backtracked on that. And today, instead of people escorting me out the door, now it's almost a badge of honor to say that your standards are high enough to be able to sell to Famous Dave's.
Dave, you know, I don't get a lot of opportunity to talk with barbecue restaurant owners per se, but most of the folks I have talked to kind of do it on their own, independent of a franchise partnership. And as someone who has a stake, obviously, in the franchising game as yourself, why would someone look to a Famous Dave's concept versus buying a vacant ice cream shop and making it a go on their own?
Boy, I'll tell you, you know, if you could ever partner with somebody who's been in business before, who's done it successfully, That's where you want to put your hard-earned money. I have seen so many people, and actually I've had cooks who've actually worked for me want to go out and do it their own. You know, they kind of take my recipes and, you know, God bless them. I just shake my head. You know, it's like, you know, if you want to steal my recipes, go for it. But, you know, don't think that you're going to experience the same type of success that I have, because I spent 25 years doing what I do to figure out where, you know, how to become good at it. And then I've also had years of failure, you know, business failures, where I knew of what not to do in opening up Famous Dave's. And even since then, you know, we've had to close restaurants. We've closed dozens of restaurants that just either the franchise partners weren't strong enough, or maybe the market conditions weren't right. But individually, it's very tough to invest somebody's hard-earned money. And usually, if you're in the restaurant business, because I've had people come up to me and say, Dave, I'm thinking of opening up my first rib joint, my first barbecue joint. And I would look at them and I'd tell them, are you crazy? You're gonna invest your family's hard-earned dollars, and you're going to go into something you have never done before. I said, the best thing I could advise you is don't do it. And if you really want to own your own barbecue joint, why don't you go work for somebody for a couple years, learn how to manage a restaurant, and if the guy wants to promote you and make you a manager of a place, then you know you're ready. But if you can't manage somebody else's restaurant, what makes you think you're going to manage your own restaurant?
Yeah, great advice there. Famous Dave Anderson joining me here on the show. Is there an incorrect presumption that if you go in with a franchise that there is no real flexibility in regards to menus or changes that you would want to make to them, or maybe some type of an operation within the store?
Well, there shouldn't be. And if you think you want to go in and you want to do your own thing, then that's a sure course for disaster. And quite honestly, at Famous Dave's, we really didn't go the mom and pop franchise route. What we went for was what is called area developers. Excuse me. These are people who probably owned like 20 Subways, or they owned 10 McDonald's, and they ran out of their opportunities to own more McDonald's. They've already built out as many McDonald's as they could, but they have cash flow. They know how to follow a system. They know how to hire people. They have good people already hired that are looking to they're looking for advancement. And if they don't get advancement with the franchise owner that they have, they'll go someplace else. So typically, somebody like that will look for another good concept. That's why, you know, you often hear if somebody may, you know, they may have a Kentucky Fried Chicken, but they also have Subways, and, mm-hmm. you know, somebody who's done it for a while and has succeeded, that's who you want to partner up with. And that's what we did at Famous Dave's, exactly for that one reason, because we knew if we were to do mom and pops right off the start, that usually somebody's going to say, hey, my Uncle Bernie's got a better sauce, or my Uncle Bernie's got a better recipe than you. So, well, no, we're not going to do that. You know, I spent 25 years doing it this way. I know it works. And if you can't buy into that, then you shouldn't be doing Famous Dave's.
Dave Anderson joining us here on the show. Dave, you've been in the barbecue business now for quite some time. You've seen a lot of trends come and go. Are there things that still ring true today that were instilled in you when you were just, you know, coming up back in the day back in Wisconsin?
Are you talking about business trends, or are you talking about food industry trends?
Yeah, just like food industry trends, yeah.
Well, I think we're on the cusp of something. I think, you know, as anybody who's listening to your show probably can relate to, I think in the last 5 years we have seen a steady increase of barbecue becoming more prominent. It's one of the last food industry segments that has seen any real growth. And I think one of the biggest reasons is a lot of our weekend barbecue warriors who are going out there and they're competing and they're starting to understand what it takes to make great barbecue and do it consistently, you know, and some of them get, and I think where everybody starts is even like myself, we start out catering and, you know, you have a backyard barbecue party, you invite all your friends, and all your friends say, hey, that was some great barbecue you made. You know, I'm going to have a party next week. Would you come maybe help me out, or would you come cater my party? And so you kind of get started like that. And that's how I would recommend anybody, if you're thinking about getting into the barbecue restaurant, I would start out catering and, you know, get to know how to serve, you know, quantities of people, make sure you know how to train staff, make sure that you're all about systems and being able to produce a good product and do it consistently. And, you know, at the end of the day, it really isn't about barbecue more than it is, can you make people happy?
And that's really what it kind of boils down to in the end, isn't it?
It really is. You know, if your barbecue is marginal, but yet everybody had a good time, maybe you could be successful because, you know, there are some concepts out there that maybe don't have the best barbecue, but, you know, the place is clean, the people are friendly, and you know you can get a decent barbecue meal. You know, they'll patronize your business. You know, it's like McDonald's. Everybody knows McDonald's doesn't have the best burger. But, you know, the place is always going to be clean. You know what you're going to get, and you get a good value. You know, the restaurant industry is a tough business.
Yeah.
And as hard as we try, you know, we have our occasional person who says, you know, they hate our ribs or we don't know what we're doing. Well, you know, we have close to 200 restaurants, and you don't get to where you are without, some ups and downs, and we certainly have had our ups and downs, but for the most part, we've made a lot of people happy.
Famous Dave Anderson joining us here on the show. FamousDaveAnderson.com is the website if you want to check that out. Dave, quick question
or
here.
FamousDaveAnderson.com.
Or that, yes, absolutely. Let me ask you a quick question here before I turn you loose, and I appreciate the time you've given me here to the show. Was it a year ago this past summer? You were on Best in Smoke or on the food. You did the Food Network, the barbecue challenge with like Chris Lilly and some of those other guys.
Yeah.
So,
Chris Hart, Brad Orson from The Shed.
Yeah, Brad.
Amy Mills was a judge.
Yep. So I guess two-part question. You know, what was that competition like for you to take part in?
Oh, my God, it was the toughest thing I ever did in my life. And we lost the first challenge. I thought we were going to get kicked off, but we came back. What a lot of people didn't know was I actually had broken my ankle the day before the filming started. If anybody watched the show, I had a real smoker. I had one of those Chicago aquarium style smokers where, you know, the fire wasn't off to the side, it was directly under my meat. You know, it's an old-fashioned pit where you're smoking right over live smoldering coals or fire, and you got to stay right there and watch that pit. Well, I was on top of that pit adjusting the smokestack and fell off of that thing the day before.
Oh.
And I actually had crushed and, you know, I had broken, you know, I forgot what I did, but I was so bound and determined that I was not going to get kicked off that show because of a bum leg that I stayed 11 days.
Oh.
And they would pick us up at 4:30 every morning.
Oh.
And we usually didn't get home till midnight because sometimes people would say, hey, Dave, man, I was pulling for you, but you didn't win, but you must have had fun. Said, fun? Are you kidding me? What people don't realize is they're trying to kick you off the show.
Yeah.
They don't want you to have fun. In fact, we Chris Lilly and Brad Orson or myself or Amy, we couldn't even talk to each other in the hotel. And so it was one of the toughest challenging things I ever done in my life. And then the other thing you probably couldn't see was, you know, Chris Lilly and Brad Orson and all these guys, they're about half my age. you know, I'm going to be 60 years old this year, and those guys are, you know, they're still youngins. And this truck that we had to go run to get our meat, that thing was about a football field away. And so these guys, you know, I know Chris Lilly, he like runs a marathon every day. I think somebody told me he runs like 5 miles every morning. Well, these guys were up and in that truck, and they had gotten their meat and already back to their pit before I even got halfway to that truck with a broken ankle. And then coming back, I ended up with 20 staples and 5 screws, 5 big bolts put into my leg.
Dave,
but that was quite an experience.
Dave Frankenstein Anderson after that, right?
I'm telling you, I had bolts coming out of every which way. But you know what? It was. I know a lot of people said it wasn't real barbecue, but you know, it. I think the thing was, it was challenging. It made you think. I mean, I had the best brisket going on that day. I had won the last. I was like, the camera crew and the people on staff thought I was going to take it all. They thought from somebody who was going to get kicked off the first show to making it all the way, everybody was kind of pulling for me. And I was winning. The first two challenges, I was winning, and I had the best brisket. And then it came down to those foodies in New York who picked a guy who, because he made tofu. I mean, can you imagine winning a barbecue contest on tofu?
No.
My smoker still hasn't forgiven me. I know when we were smoking that tofu, and I started to put that tofu in my smoker was going, Dave, please, don't put that in me. Please, don't put that in me. I think my smoker felt violated.
Oh, I bet it did. So quick question here before I turn you loose. You know, on the business side of things, you know, once that show wraps and it hits the air, did you notice any type of appreciable bump in sales over the 200 restaurants?
Not really.
Wow.
But I will tell you what, every time I walked in a restaurant, everybody was pulling for me. The one thing I will say is that I have a barbecue, you know, if you go to famousdaveanderson.com, you're going to see I have a number of books for sale. We have a Famous Dave, it's called Ribalicious. I have a cookbook, and I don't keep any of the proceeds. We, my wife and I have a work that we do with at-risk kids, and we've helped over 4,000 at-risk kids, and all of the proceeds are donated to that 100%. And we raised over $1 million selling that cookbook. And that's what I will say. We sold a lot of cookbooks because of Best in Smoke. I think where the Food Network really helps is like one restaurant. If nobody has ever known you, they say if you can get on like Guy Fieri or some program, that restaurant will go up almost 30% in volume.
Wow.
for the rest of its life.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if any of you that are listening to this and you have a barbecue restaurant and they usually don't highlight chains like myself. And by the way, I don't consider Famous Dave's a chain more than we are a family of restaurants, because almost every Famous Dave's is different from another. And we make everything from scratch. We smoke all our meats on premise. We make everything from scratch. And so that's why I feel we're not a chain. You know, we're the real deal. My roots are the real deal. I come from a family that barbecued. My dad was all about Southern food and barbecue, you know. So, you know, we're not some corporate concocted company. I was born into barbecue. I still smell like barbecue, and I'm going to die smelling like barbecue.
Famous Dave Anderson is my guest. FamousDaveAnderson.com, his website. Also, you can check out FamousDaves.com. Dave, really appreciate
Famous Dave Anderson. You keep saying Famous Dave's. That's the corporate. But if you want to find out about me and my cookbooks and more, the barbecue guy, go to FamousDaveAnderson.com.
Correct. FamousDaveAnderson.com. Dave, appreciate the huge amount of insight and the candor and talk tonight. Hopefully we can do this again a lot more often.
Greg, give me a call. I'm here for you. I'm here for anybody in the world of barbecue. When I first started out, I know a lot of people took me under their wing, and that's the way it is out in the barbecue world. I'm happy to be part of this great industry, and I wish all of you the best. Keep on smoking and make it good barbecue. Make it legendary. Get fired up and smoke the competition. Good luck to y'all.
There he is, Famous Dave Anderson. All right. I don't know why he's getting on me saying I wasn't saying Famous Dave Anderson. Dave, come on. I was. I said that first. FamousDaveAnderson.com, and then there's the corporate website, FamousDaves.com. FamousDaveAnderson.com, FamousDaves.com. Those are his websites. So, give you a little disparity or parody on what people thinking about Dave Anderson. This message from Mr. Conley. Famous Dave Anderson, what a snooze. So that guy didn't like him. This one in from John Dawson. Best Barbecue Central Radio Network guest yet, hands down. Less competition dudes, more Dave Anderson types, please. So there you go. It's a mix and match. Is that what they call a push in the gambling world? I thought it was great. A lot of great information, a lot of great history. Easily another hour's worth of stuff just to get up to speed on where we are present day. Probably even longer than that, because I'm sure there's a lot of great anecdotes and so forth coming in with Dave here. So let's quickly do this real quick.
Now's the time on the show where we give stuff away, yeah. It's free and you don't have to pay a thing, that's why it's free.
All right, your chance to win the last round of Eat Barbecue products from Rod Gray, graciously donated three times this evening. Your chance to win the final prize pack of Eat Barbecue products, sauces, the next big thing sauce, and the IPO sauce, and then the rubs, Zero to Hero, and the Most Powerful Stuff rubs. First one in with an email in the subject line, FamousDaveAnderson.com. FamousDaveAnderson.com. You have to spell it all out, everything. FamousDaveAnderson.com for your chance to win the last Eat Barbecue products donated by Rod Gray, the next big thing, the IPO, both sauces, Zero to Hero, and the Most Powerful Stuff. Those are the rubs. Your chance to win the Eat Barbecue products. Good luck. Oh, Alan, so close. You have to spell it all out. You put .com. That person put .com. Wait. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? That person put .com. That person put .com. That person put .com. Looks like. Oh, here. Who is it? You got a name? Oh, looky here. Diane B wins the last round. Eat Barbecue products. She put D-O-T. Spell it out. D-O-T. EatBarbecue.com, right? D-O-T. Spell it out. Listening skills. All right, let's go back all the way back to the first hour. Pitmaster of Pellet Envy, creator of the Eat Barbecue line of products, the next big thing in the IPO sauce, Zero to Hero, and the most powerful rub, the most powerful stuff rubs, Rod Gray joined. Talked about last year. We talked about the upcoming year. Cooking classes, barbecue television, and so forth. And then my second hour guest, Famous Dave Anderson from the Famous Dave chain of restaurants, the family of restaurants. Got a lot of background on him, when he opened the restaurants, basically persevering and making it a success and making sure you're satisfying people and making people happy. That's important. FamousDaveAnderson.com is his website, Famous Dave Anderson. There is a corporate website called FamousDaves.com. So two of those to choose from, Famous Dave's, which is a corporate website, and then Famous Dave Anderson, which is his. FamousDaveAnderson.com. Again, thanks to Rod Gray for the giveaways. Congratulations to the winners. That stuff will be shipped out next week, probably. If you use raw cast iron, make sure that you're rubbing it down and reseasoning it each and every time. September 11th, 2001. I will never forget. I'll see you back next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is your program host and proud U.S. American, Greg Rempe. Good night now.